ISO 25010 2018 provides a comprehensive framework for assessing the quality of the software, products, and systems. It helps stakeholders, including the developers, testers, the end users, understand and evaluate the characteristics of the software to ensure that it meets the needs and the expectations. So, Square focuses on both the internal quality characteristics, so static properties of the software that we saw, like say order execution, right, in case of the software, as well as internal quality, external quality characteristic of how the software behaves in a specific context of use. So, there are two key models when it comes to Square. So first is the product quality model. This model has eight key characteristics. Now we'll look at those characteristics in a few moment. So these characteristics contribute to the overall quality of the software product. These characteristics are further divided into subcategories or sub-characteristic for a more granular evaluation. So say if there is a particular category like security, then what aspects of security? Is it network security? Is it application security? Etc. etc. The examples of product quality would be, say, things like functional suitability, reliability, performance efficiency, usability. So we spoke about user interface and how effective is a user to use the software. Security, compatibility. So, is the software really capable or compatible in the with the say the operating system, with the hardware, etc. Maintainability. How easy it is to maintain the software. Say, adding new features or adding updates to the software. And portability. How can it be easily usable? As in, can it be used from one device to another, and so on. The other criteria is the quality in use. So this model focuses on how well the software meets the needs of a user in a specific context. It emphasizes usability, effectiveness, efficiency, and user satisfaction. So we spoke about the eight characteristic, or we just said that we look at the eight characteristics of product quality. Right, so let us look at these eight characteristics. So first is the functionality. So the degree to which the software satisfied the specified functions. Now you've taken a software, say a software to buy certain goods from a marketplace. Now is the software able to execute the same orders that it was envisaged to build? So that is the functionality. The reliability is the ability of the software to perform its function under the same stated conditions for a specified period. So if you are able to say punch in the orders in a trading software over a period of time and it behaves in the same way, so that is the reliability. So the moment you put given an input, you should receive the same amount of output. So that is the reliability of a software. The third is a usability. So the ease with which users can interact and use the software to effectively achieve the business goals. So say you've created a e-commerce application, but for some reason, the application is too complicated. Maybe the payment cart is different, and if you've added a item in the cart, you cannot remove it or stuff like that. So then the usability of the product is a question, right? So the ease with which users can interact with the software determines the usability. Efficiency is the performance of the software in terms of the resource utilization, such as time, memory, bandwidth. So, assuming that there is a e-commerce website, during the Diwali sale, because there is a a high amount of traffic, does the software perform in the same optimal manner? That is part of efficiency, because there are high amounts of resources that are getting utilized. Maintainability, the ease with which the software can be modified or repaired, because there are periodic updates that keep coming up, how easy it is to maintain the software is an aspect that gets covered in maintainability. The other aspect is portability, that is the ability of the software to be transferred from one environment to another. Say for example, there is a fitness app and it works really well on Android phone, but it doesn't work well on iOS devices or Apple devices. So then the portability of the application is a question mark, correct? So is the application performing in the same way on all the devices? So then the usability increases. So that's part of portability. Compatibility is the ability of the software to operate effectively with other systems, softwares or hardware. So we generally talk about compatibility of software with the hardware. So assuming that a particular software, say for example Windows 11, right? Windows 11 need a specific level of or a minimum level of RAM, a minimum level of storage, and a minimum configuration for the Intel vCPU machines, right? So is the particular software also compatible with a lower hardware configuration? So that covers the part of compatibility. And the last is security, and to my knowledge is the most important one. So the degree to which the software protects the data and resources from unauthorized access, modification, or destruction is covered as part of security. So what is the evaluation process? ISO or IEC 25010-2018 outlines a systematic process for evaluating the quality characteristic of the software. This process involves first defining the evaluation criteria, so establishing the specific matrix for evaluation, for assessing the quality of each characteristic. Then comes collecting the data, so gathering relevant information and data to measure the performance of the software against the defined criteria. After you've collected data, then you analyze the data, so evaluating the collected data to identify the strengths, weakness, and areas of improvement. You then document and report the findings, so document the evaluation results, communicating them to the stakeholders to take informed decision making and improve the efforts that are involved to change the product characteristics if needed. So what are some of the benefits of the SQUARE framework? First is the improved software quality. So by systematically evaluating the software against the defined characteristics, and we spoke about the eight product quality characteristics, organizations can identify and address the deficiency to enhance the overall quality. Enhance user satisfaction. So we spoke about usability. So by focusing on usability, reliability, and other user-specific metrics, organization can create software that not only meets the demand but exceeds expectations. And more importantly, when the software behaves exactly how it is expected to, then the user satisfaction increases. Third is the SQUARE methodology also helps in informed decision making. So by providing a structured framework for evaluation, it enables stakeholders to make informed decision about software development, procurement, and deployment based on objective quality assessments. Reduce risks and the costs. So by identifying and addressing the quality issues early in the software development lifecycle, organizations can minimize the cost and the delays. Now, how is this so? So when you've identified the risk early in the software development lifecycle, you can make the changes accordingly so that the efforts that will be spent before releasing a product will be far less as compared to releasing a product, then getting the live feedback and then making the changes. So having spoken about the ISO certifications, let us look at an important topic now, which is intellectual property rights. Now, we would have heard about this multiple number of times. So let's quickly look at this. So every country, institution and industry, whether small or large, thrive on the knowledge and the time it takes to acquire it. So shorter the time, better the chances of the story. So innovation risks are higher. So take mobile companies. If there is a leaked design in the mobile, for the mobile company, which leads to huge amount of losses, correct? So such kind of innovation, maybe there is a new circuit design. So that design has to be a trade secret of the particular organization. The moment it gets leaked, which is then a big failure for the company. For example, take the trade secret of say Coca-Cola, right? Now Coca-Cola as a brand has a trade secret in terms of the formulation of Coke, in terms of the exact quantity of sugar, in terms of exact quantity of color, etc., etc. Now if that particular trade secret gets leaked, then the company doesn't have anything else, right? Hence, it's said that innovation risks are far higher, and the case in time is, say, for mobile companies, a leaked design before the actual release. Technology change is high, so production cycle is short. The life of a new device or equipment is too short. Now, the example of mobile market is because the mobile market keeps on changing. There is very high innovation that is happening. Every time you'll see new chipsets getting released because the needs are getting changed. You would have seen in the news that Nvidia as a company has gained a lot of traction and momentum. The reason is that the increased graphic demands, not just for the games, but even for the AI stuff that is going on. It requires a high amount of GPUs, that is the graphical processing units. And hence, it is said that technology change is really high. Competition is global. The internet is omnipresent and powerful. R&D involves a lot of cost. Return on such investments take time. And high demand for skilled people is always there. So ideal resources never available. Take the case of pharmaceutical companies, which invest significant amount of costs in the tune of millions in R&D to release a new drug. Now, there is a risk that the R&D efforts may not pay off, leading to the drug not passing through the regulatory requirements. So if you look at clinical research organizations, after a drug is kind of declared fit for use, they have to have big amount of trials, right? So, and only after the trials are successful, so phase one trials, phase two trials, it's only after that that the drug gets released. So there's a risk of the R&D efforts if the drug doesn't passes the regulatory requirements. And innovation is vital for the progress, encouraging creativity, sharing of ideas, building of customer trust. And for all these reasons, protection of intellectual property is absolutely utmost important. Companies aim to protect their intellectual property rights to prevent their innovation from becoming public domain without proper returns. Right now, again, just take an example of Apple iPhone. If a new Apple iPhone gets released or leaked in the market, so that's main intellectual property for the brand, right? So it doesn't help anything. So piracy again poses a significant threat, particularly in the software industry. You see a lot of pirated softwares where the cost of copying is really low, but it makes it challenging to address through legal means. Intellectual property encompasses creation of the mind for which exclusive rights are recognized, including inventions, artistic works, and even designs. IP laws grants owners certain exclusive rights to tangible assets such as patents, copyrights, trademarks, industrial design rights, trade dress, and trade secrets. So we'll look at all of these. What do they mean? Patents, providing inventors the exclusive rights to the inventions for a specific time, a limited time, allowing them to make, use, sell, or import the innovation in exchange for disclosing it to the public. So, if there is a patent, say Apple iPhone has a particular patent, right? Now that patent is for a limited time. Now, if there is a particular technological patent, that technology patent can be sold. Say, for example, Motorola has developed certain radars, okay, which are meant for certain home usage, and they have patented that particular technology. Now, they can use it for a limited period of time, or if they would want to sell it to some other person, they can still sell it because that particular patent is registered under Motorola's name. Similarly, what are copyrights? So, copyrights grant creators of original works. Now, specifically, if you look at copyrights in terms of the musicians or the artistic forms, so copyrights are more applicable to things like copyright of a song, and there have been certain cases where in the copyright infringement there have been multiple cases that have been raised. So a particular song has a particular sequence, and if that particular sequence gets copied to another song, then it's a infringement of the copyright. So hence what copyrights do is grant creators of original works exclusive rights to their creations for a limited time, covering, say, the literary works or musical works or artistic forms of expressions. Now, what are industry design rights? So protecting the visual design of projects such as, say, space, patterns, colors, with aesthetic values, they form part of industrial design. And trademarks. So trademarks are generally recognizable signs or designs or expressions. Say, for example, Apple has this particular logo where you have a Apple which is a little cut, right? Now that's a particular trademark. Now that particular trademark cannot be used by any other company. Similarly, Samsung has a particular logo. So that logo is registered as a trademark. So it's a recognizable sign or a design. What do you mean by trade dress? So it refers to the visual appearance of a product or its packaging that signifies its source to the consumer. So the way it is packaged, that forms a part of the trade dress. And what are trade secrets? So confidential information that provide a competitive edge to business is generally not known or easily ascertainable. The example that comes to my mind is the formulation for Coke. Now that's a trade secret of Coca-Cola company, right? So what do patents or copyrights or trademarks give? So they serve some distinct purposes, right? Patents protect inventions. Now, as I said, if there's a particular technology and that has been patented, say I'm wearing an eyeglass. It has a particular, say, UV blocking. I don't know, I'm just making it up, but some kind of a technology. So I am patenting that technology. So it protects the invention and enhancement to the existing inventions. Copyrights, on the other hand, they safeguard the creative works. So we took the example of a song sequence or a dance sequence. And trademarks, they help the brands to market their products and become part of the product identity. So say, for example, the Dell logo or the Apple logo, that's a trademark, right? Now, the moment you see that, you get easily relate to the particular brand. So that is what trademarks do. In the global trade and commerce, every nation safeguards its intellectual property rights of creators and inventors, ensuring they receive fair commercial value for their innovations. The WTO oversees the trade agreements and disputes resolving amongst the member nations. So, assuming that there is a conflict of interest in the intellectual property, then WTO steps in. And India is a founding member of the WTO, has ratified the agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, obligating member countries to adhere to negotiated norms and standards within the specified time frames. India has also developed a robust intellectual property rights regime comprising of numerous statutes, laws, regulations, international treaties, totaling up to what, 62 documents. And as stated before, India is a member of World Intellectual Property Organization, which manages intellectual property matters through the Department of Industrial Policy and Promotion, designated by the Government of India. Promoting and protecting intellectual properties have various advantages. So first, it encourages creativity and innovation across diverse fields, fostering cultural and technological advancement. So obviously, right, so once you have a particular technology with you and you are the creator, you have patented it, so it gives you the right to have it with yourself. Either you would want to sell it, you want to make something on top of it, etc. So it encourages and fosters creativity. Also, it provides a legal safeguard for creators so that they are incentivized for further investment in innovation. Stimulating economic growth, generating new employment opportunities, enabling countries to harness the intellectual property potential for economic progress and development. Also, it helps to strike a balance between innovators' interest and public benefit, thereby fostering an environment conducive to creativity. Promoting or rewarding endeavors driving progress for humanity as a whole, and it also motivates researchers, inventors to promote improved and more efficient products, assures consumers of genuine goods, fostering confidence in purchasing authentic products and services. So it's like saying there is a particular trademark. So say you associate the brand of Tata with trust, right? So it adds a lot of customer confidence that if you're buying a good which has a particular trademark, so it assures customers of the genuinity of the goods. There are also certain drawbacks. Well, I wouldn't call them drawbacks, but then there are certain people who do not agree to have intellectual properties. So patent ownership disparities, particularly in pharmaceutical and healthcare. Now, in case of pharma and healthcare, the patent of a drug, say for example, there is a paracetamol, right? Now, if you change the property of paracetamol a little, which makes it a new patent, right? But then the use of that drug, a particular paracetamol might sell at say 100 rupees, where the actual cost is say only 5 rupees. So if a generic drug or if the same kind of patent gets transferred, then it could be sold at a much lesser price, causing benefit to humanity. So particularly in the pharmaceutical and healthcare industry, restricting the access for poor nations due to financial constraints is one of the challenges. Now, we saw it during the COVID era, where the COVID vaccination, say by companies like AstraZeneca and all, was sold at a very, very high price. Whereas indigenous vaccines made by India were sold at a fairly low price as compared to the AstraZeneca vaccines, right? So this is one of the drawbacks. Critics also agree that IP laws impose limitations on individuals, sometimes hindering natural creativity. Enforcement of copyright laws may impede organizations from using the information they possess legitimately, potentially violating the freedom of speech and press. Information is intangible and universal. Challenging the notion of ownership and potentially infringing on the rights of freedom and expression.